How's it going, guys? So I came here tonight fully intending to read a poem, as you do when you come to an open mic, but I got a bit of news earlier that kind of has altered that now, and it's kind of consumed my thoughts in hearing it. A friend of mine died on Saturday. She was 20, she was a real bright spark, and she collapsed at work and died on Saturday afternoon, so I only found out earlier, so I was kind of consumed by that today, so I was thinking how we could, you know, do something for her, and could have wrote her a poem, but there was nothing to say, you know, it was silence. So this is a poem, it's 60 seconds long, and it's called Something's Called Silence. Thank you.
Thanks, Kira. There's going to be a copyright issue, I'm afraid, with that poem, but I'm not going to be involved, right? I'm just giving you the heads up. But thank you for that. And next up, could we please have the one and only Rabocot.
La Boca della Veritas. On the way to this convocation, we stopped at the Woodway service station. There we found a mouth of truth, no lies. I put my money in the crack. I got my electronic feedback telling me stuff about my life, no lies. It said, you're a crusty, you are a bad, grow up, stop acting like a little lad, hey! Turn your cap the right way around. Don't tell lies. He said, ain't no rights without responsibility. Know yourself, your capability. Speak out, be a mouth for truth. Don't tell lies. He said, take this message to the convocation. Shout it out, give a demonstration. Speak out, be a mouth for truth. Don't tell lies.
Yeah. Enjoying the brevity. Next up, Billy Ramsell.
All right. Thanks, God.
Hi. This is called a colony. Colony. I can't speak after Rab's outburst there. I'm deeply touched, Rab. Thanks. Colony. The city studies itself incessantly. The city is Narcissus. It's every crevice flickering on 1,000 grain screens. The machines have entered the language, my love, entered us. The city is the most tireless of voyeurs, swiveling and insistent. Its closed circuit eyes take in the grand parade and Nash's boreen. Itself examines not in pride, but fascination, like Narcissus. As machines drill into words, tentative at first, then adventurous, carefree, their cables interface with phrases and phonemes. The machines have entered a language, my love, entered us, entered our eyes and our ventricles. The devices we fitted regulate humor, blood flow, spleen. We respond as in a dream, like the city hypnotized by its own brilliancy. The city is Narcissus, the lake water, his reflection becoming sadder and more sensuous as it stares back at him. The city stares into a neon ocean of machines, the machines that have entered the language, my love, entered us. We are their colonies. They visit us. They cherish and exist in us. The city wants to show you what its 1,000 eyes have seen. It examines you all night because it is Narcissus. The machines have entered the language, my love, entered us.
Is that a Villanelle from Billy Mansell? I'm sure door hiding has something to do with that. Right here. First time I've heard Villanelle from Billy. Next up, could we welcome Frankie Griffin?
Woohoo!
This was inspired by just a simple walk up in Patrick Street during the Jazz Festival. It's called Ghosts of the Past. That goes something like this. I stroll down St. Patrick Street in the evening light, not been done in a long, long time. Attraction of the weekend mayhem that fades with age. Spanish design, European rule, Victoria gone forever. Ghosts of rebellion, civil war, friends and family no longer here. A little girl runs past me, dancing shoes in hand, held bravely with a passion. She's missed the curfew, blackened hands, she'd be murdered, it's the fashion. Swan and Signet had my fill, roaches stores and Christmas trills. The mighty Patrick's Hill, where firm soldiers have stood still on two-wheeled metal horses, where Kelly is the king. Tommy Sullivan's to be scalped, me and my brother, closely watched by a loving mother. Afterwards, for bravery, a corgi toy in Wollum's shop. We make our way back up the hill, home to Garrett Castle.
Thank you, Frankie. It's Frankie's first time at a Vale.
First time. Hope we'll see you
later. Okay. Next up, our reigning five-word champion, Carol Doyle.
Thanks, Rav. I love you too, baby. This is kind of unfinished, I guess. The day they switched the internet off. It was like the Middle Ages for about a month. Then folk really lost their patience. Libraries and archives experienced a brief resurgence in popularity before they were razed to the ground for not bending to the demands to supply hardcore Asian pornography and private viewing booths. The self-conscious experiencing of an experience became the experience. For instance, lovers making love would say, "I'm making love," to one another. The poets took to the streets en masse and began to mate with their own poems. After all of the violence and orgies slowed down, a woman stopped me in the street. She showed me a page with her picture, her interests, and her DOB. She asked me if I could love her. "I'm sorry," I said. "I have no idea what you mean."
Thank you, Cal. And next up, Mary O'Connell.
Next one. This, I suppose it's seasonal, coming up to Christmas. It's called Country Christmas 1920. And it's really about my mum. It's all about what she experienced in her home in Baltimore in West Cork. The days before Christmas glowed through the gloaming, like the delf on the dresser, the logs in the grate. Ice round the pump caught the fire of the stars. Shocked hands felt the burning of frost on the gate. On Christmas Eve morning, the house stirred to life. Teresa chopped suet while man washed the plates. The goose was brought down from a hook in the rafters. The bill had been paid with a check from the States. At one they sat down to salt fish and white sauce, with big flowery spuds that came out piping hot. They scrubbed down the deal and stacked some fresh turf. The pillow slip pudding grew plump in the pot. The kitchen was scented with spices and ham. Pots hissed on the hob as Nell threaded some leaves of red berry holly and fashioned a bough to hang in the window just under the eaves. 6 half-pound candles, a gift from the grocer, each wedged in a mangle, were lit after tea. Since Nan was the youngest, she said the Hail Marys. They knelt in the shadows, not needing a tree. Down in the valley, like jewels in the darkness, in windows were seen tiny pinpricks of night. To welcome the traveller, the poor, and the lonely, and blaze out the gladness of this special night.
Wow.
Special night. Definitely a special night. Thank you, Mary. Next up, we have Adam Wyatt.
I also have a short seasonal poem, which I hope I can remember off by heart, because I've given my book away. It's called Robin. Blood bright, upright, stopped, a red light. Its tiny black eyes, the size of pips on the dice. Every day he comes like a messenger, taking me back to the veranda, where you charmed the birds out of the trees. You had him eating from your hand, trained him to peck nuts you held between your teeth. This is love, you told me. Legend says the robin mopped the cuts from Christ's head, staining its breast blood red. Now I imagine you whistling back from beyond, your ruddy tufted chest all puffed on your twiggy claws, twitching your delicate beak. I evoke my own folklore, where I lure you in with a palm of seeds. Thank you.
Oh yeah, poetry tonight. Next up, we have the one and only Patrick Connor.
Yes! Wet, wet Cork. This poem has an epigraph from Cervesian Pick, Huguenot Mayor of Cork, who's come down through history for nothing other than having written the line that makes this epigraph. On the occasion of Republican France's invasion of Bantry in 1796, he wrote a letter to London ending, "I write this letter with a sword in one hand and a pistol in the other." When they had to arrive in London, they said, "Hey, maybe you can all be still a feckin' paddy, obviously." In Cork, we're still living through a diluvian age, almost a century since bombs and bullets last disturbed the quiet of these streets. What used to be unseasonable June downpours threaten again the safety of our city's lanes, mouths, parades. I listen to the roof surfaces boil with a biblical torrent. 15 inches in 3 hours. The water music usually varied, but now a million relentless drums pound and pound. The next morning, the Lee lapped the lips of the city's quays and rinsed the flapping fronds of waterside weeds, flushed out the otter's bolt holes and rats' pipey highways, fountained from manholes and sewer grates below the level of the sea, threatened to submerge the old French graveyard where Jacques Fontaine's successors said eulogies after reformist requiems from 1713. Carey's Lane, once Ballard's, Old French Church Street and ever named St. Paul's, these passages of prophet and prayer still bustle today with penitence and trade. The bells of SS Peter and Paul's toll in surround sound, while out of the pavilion bar waft waves of twangy notes, the latest voguish club mix, aiming for the hypnotic sway of an 80s wave machine. The relentless rain tumbles from the overladen gutters still, chatters as it hits varied surfaces, some sounds tensile as a ping, some flaccid as a moan, drops on a metal trash can, drops on a cardboard carton. Inside the bar, the sun-shot grass of Wimbledon glows green with reflected gold on a flat screen. The tennis balls talks, quietened by volume control, the crowds applaud in silence, setting aside their strawberries and cream to join their hands under skies as neat and tame as Wickham hedgerows. I consider their clouds are merely our clouds, disrobed of half their rain and more seemly for it. This city floats on an egg of marsh it's named after. When the glaciers go, it'll weep over the edges of the concrete and tarmacadam caps and engulf us all. I write this missive, a wind turned out umbrella in one hand, my other holding a fedora in precarious place.
Thank you, Pat. The owner of the establishment is home very ill tonight. He usually comes along at the end of the year. And we've still got six poets left, so we have to, because you've just hit the usual closing time, be as short as possible, right? And then we're all going to jump into a bunch of taxis together, go up to Rab's place, and there's drink and food till 8 in the morning. So you're all welcome to come along and join us, right? Next up, Mr. Seamus Harrison.
Thanks, Bob. Southward number 12. Dockyard. The rasping scream unleashes a cascade of sparks, angling across steel decks to the last green half pile and beyond, where the spring tide line is drawn black on green, landweed strewn with seaweed. Welders, blue arc sizzles in a pyrotechnic burst as the heron gazes like Narcissus into his likeness. Silence again, except for the steady rhythm, he turns his long neck to gape at the squashed hose, pulsing to plumpness where it droops lightly over the edge. The hidden pump gushes its mantra, pa-chum, pa-chum, pa-chum. Thank you.
Next up, we have, I hope for the short piece, Conor McManus. No, is it too long, Conor?
It's a bit long, yeah.
Is it, yeah? Okay. Okay, so we'll have to skip Conor this week, right?
Aww,
we'll listen to his story up at the after party, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we have a Mick Noonan in the house? Mick Noonan, please, to the mic.
I don't think it's very good, but because I only sat there, I can use about 3 weeks ago, but I read it anyway. It's called Strange Mind. Of this world I think I am not, and sometimes I think, where was I got? I have a strange mind, and think I'm the only one of my kind. My thoughts often border on the bizarre, and often think was I descended from a Russian Tsar. Now of late I've started writing poems, and there is the benefit of having a mind that roams. My poems may not be much to read, but it gets my brain flowing at terrific speed. This writing makes me so high, I want to reach the sky. All the years the poems were inside, and now from my mind they fervently glide. It feels like a new me is suddenly born, and can't wait for the inspiration that comes with every new morn.
Yay!
Thank you, Mick. Hope to see you back. Next we have Rosalind Blue.
Remember after the last party we were, or during the last party, we were all invited to come to this exhibition by the, it was called Outbox by the MA Art and Process by the, from the Crawford College. And we went, some of us, I saw some of us there anyway, I went too. And this poem here, I worked on the script that I wrote there and polished it up a bit more. And it's relating to, there was a boat there with a kind of, there was a canvas lying, the boat was upside down, it was a curra, and the, there was a canvas lying on it, and there was something stitched on it, and the poem goes into describing, so I won't talk anymore. The map. An intricate map at the bottom of the curra. A delicate shape of a medic's cross, with edges straight and squared. In its heart, a continent dense with lochs and peaks, estuaries, isles, peninsulas and trees. In its arms, more land between white canvas seas, islands and new grounds unfolded like a pattern for the world. And zooming deep into this map, each stitch a hairline sewn in a thousand hours, standing for thousands of people on this island. Maybe the remedy for us lies in this medic's cross at the bottom of the curra. To find our way, we'll have to turn the boat and see upside down.
Thank you, Sue. Our penultimate open mic artist this evening is Mr. Joel Harding.
Happy we get to know her. I never was described as an artist before. This is one of the biggest days of my life when my son was 5 years of age. He was able to cycle off and replace me with older stabilizer. The biggest of days. That was the biggest of days when I eased my hand from your back and launched you into space. You turned your head only sideways and let out Yahoo. You were on your own now, sailing into the all tomorrows without stabilizers, pedaling furiously into freedom. I didn't realize you were gone into your own Milky Way and left me pushing my plow until tonight when you asked, Dad, will you come for a pint?
Thank you, Dora. And to end off our 2012 series, Joe Collins.
I wrote this last night at about 3 in the morning, and I added a line onto it from before. Motivation drifts sometimes when one's got too much time to realign, redesign, reaffirm one's terms in this world. One who no longer knows the source at where to begin the flow at which humanity goes, and so falters to and fro, here and there, threadbare. Keep strong, relax, don't feel alone nor have a freak attack. Everything will work out soon, everything will sit right back.